Okay, we're going to start.
We are going to start. If you'll just join me in saying the pledge tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. The agenda is before you. However, we're going to modify a couple things. That consent agenda number 3, we're going to move to the board chair report. We're just going to do that. So I'm not even going to ask for a motion. It's happening. So we're going to move on because I have some problems. Glenn, would you give us an update on what's going on with financials for the second quarter?
Well, I'll just keep it brief. You've all received...
Not too brief. We're okay. That takes
you've all received a report here and things here. So everything is basically as expected. Of course, the fuel is a little bit of concern because, as you know, when you fill up your own car, you're paying 3 or 4 times as much as you used to. So we're a little higher there. They're hoping that things will be okay. We're up 50%, which is 50% of the year. So anyway, that. And the other thing is on the bus purchases, if you notice on there that there's they list the 2 paratransit bus replacements have been delayed and won't be delivered until next year. That's because they've been having issues with parts with that to get those put together as and everything else. So those are the biggest issues that we have here. So I don't know if you have any questions or glad to answer those. Noticed anything that you'd like to
that is pretty encouraging that we're right on budget with the fuel.
Exactly. So we're hoping that stays
that way.
We don't think, you know, if there is an adjustment, we've got things other things that will cover that. So
can I ask where we are making adjustments out of from a budget standpoint? How are you adjusting for the fuel?
So right now we're just at the point of monitoring it. Clear back in the first quarter, we reported that things were trending up, and we start monitoring. We're still watching the trends. The trends kind of peaked, but they're coming back down. And so right now we're anticipating the possibility of actually finishing on budget within the fuel item. The area that could be adjusted just came up as we were reviewing this is tires is probably going to finish under budget. Our tires are being able to make it through, and so that's one area that we would look at possibly just using that budget. It's within its own category, so technically we don't have to make a formal change. But that's one of the areas where we could use funding for if there was a little bit of a shortfall there.
Okay, good. I think we just want to make sure. Can you admit that? Yeah, thank you. I'm looking for as many people as I can find right now.
We hope they're here.
And will you turn off the screens here for a minute, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. So I think we want to know that with escalating costs on certain components, what do we have to skinny down to finish out the year without moving beyond the budget?
Right now, as things are looking, we're able to satisfy all of the concerns and needs. And so we're not anticipating have to make any significant come back with any significant changes at this point in time.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for what the finance group's doing. Thanks for monitoring that closely. This has been a very unpredictable year, so staying on budget's a very big deal. Appreciate that. Hey, while you're up there, Curtis, what do you think about telling us about the 2023 budget?
Absolutely. So This is the time of year where we start accumulating information, we're starting to put together ideas of what things are going to be costing for the next year. As far as the timeline, we'll be coming to the board and inviting budget workshops sometime in October. But what we've done in the past and what we'd like to continue doing, and this is inside your board packet, is we try to set priorities or budget goals for where we think the available money should be going to into what areas. And what we want to do is try and communicate that to the board as early on in the process so that if you have ideas, suggestions, concerns, anything that you want to communicate as we're still in the budget development process, we start working on these together and really pulling together the vision of the board and the vision of management, making sure they're kind of lining up. So if I can go down through these, our main category, we've got to make sure that we're covering payroll. We told the board a couple months ago that we would have funds, so our number one priority is to make sure that funding is in place to be able to retain and even attract employees in. So we're going to be focusing a lot on that. And with that goes training to make sure the people that we have are still able to provide the quality service that the community expects. So that is our number one priority. We're also got our capital and capital plan and service plan. So within there, we anticipate starting construction in 2023 for the new facility. So you'll see money allocated in our capital for that. Also, from what we understand, the micro vehicles are most likely, almost assuredly at this point, going to be delayed to 2023, as well as the two paratransit buses that Glenn mentioned. Chip shortages are one of the issues. Other parts, just in the assembly, it's all slower, and that's nationwide. And then also in 2023, we actually have to start the ordering process for the six buses that we plan on replacing in 2024. So we're going to be placing that order during 2023, just so this board is aware. We're actually got to make a commitment of 2024 funds. And then obviously, as we get the microtransit in, we want to start implementing the new service into the south end and start that change down in the area that we previously discussed with the board. So that's going to be those are our capital service plans. And those will be reflected inside the budget. Obviously, a key point to us providing this service is our safety programs. We're proposing that we're going to keep the same programs in place. One of our most effective ones is a video review system. Drivers are immediately rewarded after reviewing how they perform with an incentive amount that goes right into their next paycheck. We found this to be really successful, not only from the standpoint of monitoring the drivers, but more importantly, it creates this communication mechanism between the drivers and the supervisors to where the drivers are getting feedback in a really positive, productive way, and it's really more of a conversation than you did this bad, you did this good. It's more of a how do we help things go even better, and it really focuses in on what our culture is like. And then, as part of our agency safety plan, we're always watching out for any potential new hazards. So in the budget, you'll see, you won't necessarily see specifically, but in there, there's money to keep our agency safety plan going as far as having supervisors monitor for risks, having mechanisms for employees can report risks to us. There is a focus on public outreach. Still, we're proposing that we continue to use Rumor. We've used them for, is it 4 years now? It's a number of years. And what we found is the ads that we're running are being recognized. We get a lot of comments, we get a lot of positive comments. And we think the partnership that we've developed with Rumor is really valuable. So we're going to be proposing to continue that with an amount of funding that will also help actually promote the new service that's going to be happening down in the south end as well. And then also continue with the public outreach that the board is doing to key stakeholders. So various meetings and getting the city councils and some of the the different materials that we're distributing out along with that. So that'll be those things will be included inside the budget. And then obviously we've got to be looking for things out in the future as well. And so there will be planning dollars as far as looking at transit corridors. We've talked about this in the past, so we're still working with that study with the MPO. A little bit of a long-ranger plan of where services might be 20 years from now, trying to get those conversations happening as to what would people want, so we can start putting plans in place of how we would get there. Lifeline is another feature that we consider valuable. From our standpoint, it reaches and provides some critical services to areas where we don't have standard service. It's a volunteer service where volunteers drive people in and they receive a per mileage reimbursement. BRAC helps us administer that. It's been a good partnership so far. And then we've been working with Kimley Horn. They're a planning firm. And what we're proposing is to continue to have dollars in there where they would be helping us identify, are there places where we could transition into electric vehicles? How would that look? And then also participating with Logan Main Street study to see how we can improve services there and support Logan City in those efforts. So the budget will reflect, those are what we see as key priorities to be putting dollars towards inside the budget. There's obviously the standard things, fuel, stuff like that. But these are key areas where we see decisions to be made. And we welcome input, welcome questions, ideas. If you have other ideas you'd like to see us consider, we'd just like to make sure this is a joint process and kind of aligned visions.
Can I? I have three questions.
Yeah.
I have to keep these on. In the public outreach, it was years ago we talked about this once and we haven't since. What if, has Cache Valley partnered again with USU on looking at air quality parameters, our clean diesel versus our hybrid versus other vehicles versus gas, kind of updates and more research? That just seems to be valuable data when the time hits us, and it seems to hit us every few years. Questions.
So to do another study evaluating our vehicles against CNG
there's a lot of environmental questions that CBTD is a part of in the valley, air quality, right? And there, it just seems like it might be worth visiting with them, putting some money aside to support it, and I don't know, just to help gather good data. Do you guys think that's stupid?
So would you entertain a follow-on question? I know you have the floor, but what? Yes. Thank you. I'll get this back to you. What is the board's process for suggesting alternate or additional priorities? How do we do that process-wise?
I think we're open to, if you want to call, if you want to come meet, we can do it through the workshop process,
or even discussion here in a board meeting. Yeah. If there's different ideas that the board wants to throw out. And
In past lives, for me, it's been in the workshop processes where you bring that up, and if there's enough heads that say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to do, that's how we do it. I'm curious.
I think we're open to facilitating that, however, so that it's easy, and then ultimately,
this is the first time you've seen the budget priorities from the general manager and administration, so the
back
chance
to have a couple more.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
The other two were just questions. So Rumors running ads for us, are they doing, when we first paid them money, they were doing much more than running ads?
Yeah, they also help develop a lot of our ad material. They help us with, for example, we're going to be revamping our map and doing something different, and they help us with that design work. So yeah, it's more than just running the ads.
At one point, it was $400,000-ish that we paid them that first year?
No, it's never been that.
$250,000.
Okay.
I don't know where that 400 came from.
And they, to Todd's point, they actually helped us redesign how we reached out to future employees and some of the concepts of how we could recruit. They actually ran a recruiting campaign for us.
We're refreshing the website. That's something that we'll the coming Shannon, and they help us with that stuff. So it is.
Okay. There's still a lot of meaningful work going on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I was wondering, okay, the big stuff's done, what are they doing now?
Yeah, there's always stuff we're doing, it seems like.
And my last question is, with the Lifeline Voucher Program, are you guys going to propose to increase money or just kind of keep it?
Yeah, so in the budget, so this year the budget amount was $20,000. We're going to propose $25,000. And Sean and I have had some discussions already, and I welcome that. I mean, again, I think that's something that should be discussed. Anything within the budget should be discussed. So
what? Yeah. We'll wait till that comes up to discuss that?
Or? We could do it in the budget workshop, I mean, or as we get along the process, but
we'll see a workshop in the budget, we can discuss it.
Yeah.
It won't be a specific line item in the budget, it's like how we present it. It'll be included in professional fees, because we consider BRAC our professional part of the apprenticeship program. But it would be inside of there. It is a different type of professional service that we see can have valuable discussion at this board level as to should that be a type of service that we offer. We're indicating we think so, but absolutely could be open to discussion as to where it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry.
Are we renegotiating with Craig on that split of what they take out of those funds to?
That was something that Sean and I have discussed. We're open to that. We can definitely.
Because to me, I mean, giving them 75% of that $20,000 or $25,000 is like,
yeah.
You know, I realize there's overhead costs, but that seems excessive.
Yeah, and I have already talked with Bragg, and you know, part of that was the initial getting the program set up mm-hmm. and stuff, and we've talked about that we can revisit that, and they agree that we probably can change that
okay.
That rate. So I definitely think that's something that we're in the process of looking at.
Yeah, and that's my comment too. That I'm
yeah.
I like the program, but I'm concerned about the overhead, and also we talked about some of the logistics of how few people go and how far they go, and maybe setting some parameters that would optimize that and make it better.
Yeah, I mean, and so again, with regards to that, there seems to be some questions and stuff, and I think that's great. We again can make that as an item on the board agenda sometime and actually spend some time on that if you would like, separate from the budget, or we can do it through the budget process. I mean, we're open to make this facilitate however you'd like to do that.
It would probably be a quick, it wouldn't be a long discussion, but we might want to do it before we vote on putting more money in.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can do it through the workshop. Or
so I'd like to engage these in the workshop discussion.
Workshop.
I know I don't need to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The budget is our single most important policy tool.
Yes.
And so I'd love to see the board very, very engaged in what the budget should look like so that we can set policy. That's really the only reason why we exist is to set policy.
So workshops are a good place for this, and then when we get in the next meet or the budget meeting, then it's more.
It's hammered out a little bit more. That we've had some discussion. It's open. It's open discussion like this.
Okay.
I will suggest that rather than being a budget workshop, you could have your service committee actually take this on as a task to evaluate over the course of the next month and bring a recommendation back to the board for the next board meeting to. After they've studied it for a month, there's a possibility there because you're setting a service policy type idea. So it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. That was
to you.
I know that when we initiated this program, we initiated it with a we'll check on it and see how it goes. In the first year, I understood that it was used very little.
Correct.
Was it used more the second year?
Mm-hmm. It's steadily increased in its utilization.
It's steadily increased. So
the number of miles or the number of people?
I would say both.
So you still does the management still feel that they are paying BRAG an adequate amount to administer that? Or I mean if 75% is going to BRAG and 25% is going to actually provide the service or to write the checks for the independent people that are driving, that seems a little bit steep. That seems very top heavy.
Sorry, I want to do a calculation real quick to see if it's really 75%.
Well, that was what I remember from our steering committee meeting.
It is. It's more than what the operators get. Again, I think we're open to talking with Bragg about that. We've had some initial discussions and they're open to that as well. So I think we can revisit that. From an overall service standpoint, again, I think this is part of that discussion that we can have is, you know, for us to send a call ride vehicle out to provide these trips, we're not even gonna be anywhere close to that mileage rate. I mean, we're gonna be $8-$9 a mile versus $2 a mile. And so this is very affordable service, but as far as how much is going to the volunteer, we can revisit that.
If you've got, it's not a volunteer, we're paying them.
Well, the reason that I say that, Jeannie, is there are liability reasons. They are a volunteer. We or Bragg don't dictate who their driver should be.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you meant the volunteer in terms. I thought you meant volunteer in terms of
the
Bragg people.
No, the driver.
But if you're only doing 10 trips with $20,000.
Yeah, we're doing significantly more than 10 trips. I mean, and it's, like I said, the number of trips have grown and the number of clients have grown, and I can come and provide that detail to the board. I have no problem with that.
And I have no, you know, I have no problem with whatever method you choose to investigate that, but sure. I think that we should have a better awareness of that is.
Okay, we can do that.
Mary, do you have something?
I do. It's my experience, having been as long as I was with the Senior Citizen Center and Brad, we worked in conjunction a lot of the time. It's a difficult portion of the population to educate. So I strongly recommend the best way there is with whatever group that you have to market the voucher program, because it's very valuable. There are so many people of my experience right now who have not a clue that there's any help available, and there is, we're providing a very valuable service to that portion of the community that they don't know about. So it's just a matter of preaching and it just is a kind of an interesting geographic thing that Logan's kind of in the center of the county. The people in the outlying areas don't know that they're part of the county services as well. So I, with Todd and I both being on the mobility committee, we have an opportunity to help with Bragg as far as getting the word out, because I think it's something we need to sell.
Okay, it sounds like there's enough interest that maybe in our next meeting we could provide an overview of it. We ought to have it as part of these budget workshops to make sure that, but rather than come to the table with things that we remember, let's just review that program, what's happening, and what the take rate is on it, if you don't mind, Curtis.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other comments or discussion about 2023 budget priorities as they're presented so far?
Can I ask one other question?
Please.
With respect to rebranding, will Rumor be a part of that rebranding campaign, or are we doing something different?
I'm going to defer to Todd on this because he's been
looking. We definitely think Rumor will be a part of helping us with that. But it's definitely how the board wants to approach that with management. We're open to that idea.
Okay, thank you.
Other conversation? Really good information. Thank you. Let's move down to the board manager report. Todd, would you take us through these, please?
Sure. We need to talk about it a little bit. So just an update on the technology. I mean, I know Sean's been using the app and been out there riding the bus. I hope others of you have. Just encourage you to even if you're just sitting at your desk, open up the app and just watch the buses move around. But so far, we've had a lot of very positive comments on that. There are sometimes glitches. We're working through one right now. So I love feedback. So if you hear from consumers or if you yourself run into a problem with that technology, let us know. We're working through some transition issues. We're moving from a paper daily vehicle inspection to an electronic one. This is all part of that technology thing, and there's glitches with that, so we're working through that. But for the most part, a lot of this technology is in place, running as we anticipated. GMB's continued to be a good company to partner with, and so things are going well. We're still in the process of connecting the GMB feed to our website. That's something we're working on with Rumor. We're having a few challenges with that, but we're working towards that. But we're promoting the guts out of the app. You'll see everywhere you go, as far as on the buses, there's a QR code at every other window. We have A-frames out. We're doing something right now tonight. The USU connections, all the incoming freshmen are encouraged to come and participate with downtown businesses, and we really promote the Loop through that process. We're extending the hours on the Loop for that event because they don't end that event until 9 o'clock. And so another opportunity for us just to promote the system, promote the technology that we're using. So it's kind of an update on that. With regards to microtransit, we have an app in place with our paratransit software. That's the software we'll use with microtransit. But we're kind of upfitting that app, if you will, creating our own identity around that app. Curtis kind of already alluded to this. With regards to microtransit, we were hoping we'd have buses by now, that we would be starting service, and we don't. Fingers crossed, we'll get them in December, but we've been told a deadline before, and the deadline's come and gone, and we haven't had them. So actually, the Herald Journal called me today, and I kind of gave them an update on where we're at. So I don't know if Charlie's going to run an article tomorrow or the next day, but he may see something in the Herald Journal about that. But our goal is, in the meantime, that we can get this app up and running, hopefully in the next 30 to 45 days, that we'll start maybe beta testing some of this with like a supervisor van and some staff members, and trying to get our hands around what's going on with that, so that we can be ready to hit the ground running when it comes time to start the service. So that's microtransit. And then on any questions on any of that, though? I mean, anything that you guys have questions on? We met with High Valley Transit. So again, High Valley Transit is Summit County's transportation. So you have Park City, which operates in the city, and then the rest of Summit County is really provided by this fairly new entity, High Valley Transit. They do some fixed route. It's limited to one or two routes, and then the rest of it's microtransit. So we had been up there and toured their facility, looked at their services. They came down here a week or two ago, met with us. Again, just a information sharing thing, trying to learn from us and what we're doing. They're trying to build a facility as well, and so we're sharing some information there. And then we also met with UTA to discuss zero fare. That's something that UTA is looking at. I think they're looking at it fairly seriously. And so we had the opportunity to have their executive team, and then they have three board members, and so their three board members were there as well. Cecilia represented the board there, and we had a great conversation, and they really kind of, we had our executive staff there, and they really kind of, you know, just wanted to understand our experience, what were the things that we really liked, what were the challenges we faced, and just, you know, really shared information back and forth, but it was a great thing. And I didn't put this on there, but I just barely came back from a conference last week within our national association. Several of us got together several years ago and created what we call the Sun Conference, the Small Urban Network. So there's about 60 or 70 providers that are small urban systems like ours through this association. And so we wanted to create our own conference where we could get together. It's for executive level, for us to share challenges, ideas, what are we learning. And so that's always a really productive conference. So, you know, making contacts there with folks that are doing electric vehicles. And so that's something that I hope bring back to the board is we may have one of them visit us virtually where they can kind of talk about their experience with electric vehicles. Is that something that's, you know, maybe in our horizon down the road at some point? But so just different things like that. But I think that's all I've got, unless anybody has questions.
Any questions for the general manager? Okay, thank you. Okay, rather than doing number 7, we're going to pull number 3 back down. Consent agendas before you. We're looking for an approval of the altered agenda, which includes number 3 before number 7, approval of the minutes of June 22nd, 2022, approval, and then our next meeting is September 28th, 2022. Any discussion on those items? Not hearing any. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed to this? No? Okay, good. Thank you. We're going to move down to number 7 now. Todd and I went back to D.C. last month. and had a number of really, really good meetings. We met with Senator Romney, and that was kind of funny because just a few hours later, all of a sudden, we're part of his Twitter feed, and he's promoting all the great things the Cache Valley Transit District's doing, so that was fun. We met with staff from Representative Owen's office and staff from Representative Stewart's office because he had COVID. And then we had met one-on-one with Representative Curtis and Representative Moore. We have a fantastic rapport with each of these representatives. And the catalyst for our conversation there was to go back and pursue a grant with the FTA. We really needed their support. We needed them to proactively support our bid for some funds. And so this was a way to get in front of them and say, hey, can you help us with this? For future board chairs, for future members of the board, I highly advocate this as a very productive part of our process. We could and are getting more and more federal grants, and this is one way to engage that. We're getting a tremendous bang for our buck out of our federal lobbyists, and I think that the traction that we have and the relationships we have with our elected officials back there is significant. It's a fantastic way to keep funding this good organization. So that was a great trip, and I think it was very productive, and I hope the board continues that direction. That is all I have to say tonight. Is there any other comment from the board?
Out of curiosity, why did you move 3 to the end?
I'm sorry?
Out of curiosity, why did you move number 3 to the near the end?
Because we didn't have enough people to vote on an agenda.
Even with two-thirds of us?
We used that.
Oh, good.
We used everybody, so thank you for coming tonight. And I didn't feel like we could, yes, Charisse.
Was there a first and a second on that
movement, the voting? The consent agenda was before you. I'd accept a motion to approve the consent agenda. Would somebody make a motion?
So second.
We have a first and a second. Terry and Sean. And one more time, just to make it official, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Charisse. I appreciate you catching that. Processes. Go ahead.
When I heard on the news that Park City was thinking about going fare-free, I thought, way to go.
Yeah.
I think that was really cool.
That's good feedback. Thank you.
They're rich enough, they could pay them.
I don't see or hear any public not on the board, so we're going to move on, and we're going to adjourn. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. All right.